child born on born upon this day. H is for Herod and Joseph.
Our hands are our Redeemer who has saved us from our sins.
I mean Israel, God chose them to bring the Messiah.
S is for the star that shone so bright.
He is the three wise men that traveled so far.
And it's for the name so well he named.
A is for all Jesus things.
S is for the shepherds that watched the flock by night.
L is for the Lord who cleans us for his people.
B is for Virgin Mary to give birth to the Christ child.
E is for Emmanuel, the one who is with us always.
Amen. Now, do you notice something there?
What do you notice? That spells Christ was love. Christmas love is really Christ was love. Thank you. Wonderful job. That little angel's talented. You see her doing tricks and everything up on the stage? She's really good, as well as all of them. Christmas is really about love, isn't it? Christ was love. Oftentimes we get sort of hung up on a Christmas season that becomes hectic, that becomes difficult, that becomes jam-packed with activities, and you're rushing around trying to get, you know, the phrase that we hear most often perhaps as we go about is, are you ready for Christmas? Right? Are you ready for Christmas? And the typical answer is, no, never. There's never enough time. Although we start it long before Thanksgiving. Christmas is sort of long drawn out and a part of a season, a journey into one particular day. But lest we be distracted, this day is about nothing other than a reminder of the love of God. And so then I came up with, you know, I saw a little story a while back about this gentleman was one of his children's plays, and they had all of this rehearsed and everything, and suddenly the M of Christmas love got flipped around. And all of a sudden it dawned on everybody, aha. That's what it's really about. Because that is indeed the reason that we celebrate this Christmas season. Christ was love. Max Lucado, let's read the scripture before I go any further. It's a familiar scripture to all of you. Beginning with John 3:16, it's written there in your bulletin. So stand with me as we read God's Word, and then we're going to read that story once again from Luke chapter 2, the first seven verses. So, John 3:16. We know it, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in Luke chapter 2, you heard it already. Let's read it one more time. Now, it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. It came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for, again, a reminder of a blessed story, a beautiful story, a simple story, first by our children, and now by the Word of God. We glory in your love. It was that kind of love that made it possible for us to have everlasting life. God, in this brief moment, as we focus on that love, tune our hearts and our minds to your word, and we'll give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Max Licato, in his book, An Angel's Story, described an imaginary conversation between God and Satan, or Lucifer, just before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It goes like this. The king walked over and reached for the book. He turned it toward Lucifer and commanded, "Come, deceiver, read the name of the one who will call your bluff. Read the name of the one who will storm your gates." Satan rose slowly off his haunches. Like a wary wolf, he walked a wide circle toward the desk until he stood before the volume and read the word. "Emmanuel," he muttered to himself, then spoke in a tone of disbelief, "God with us?" For the first time, the hooded head turned squarely toward the face of the Father. "No, not even you would do that. Not even you would go so far. You've never believed me, Satan. But Emmanuel, the plan is bizarre," Satan said. "You don't know what it's like on earth. You don't know how dark I've made it. It's putrid. It's evil. It's..." And suddenly the Lord of glory interrupted. "It's mine," proclaimed the king, "and I will reclaim what is mine. I will become flesh. I will feel what my creatures feel. I will see what they see." "But what of their sin?" chimed in Satan. "I will bring mercy." "What of their death?" "I will give life." Satan stood speechless. God spoke, "I love my children. Love does not take away the beloved's freedom, but love takes away fear. And Emmanuel will leave behind a tribe of fearless children. They will not fear you or your hell," spoke Satan. Satan stepped back at the thought. His retort was childish. They will too. "I will take away all their sin," God said. "I will take away death. Without sin, without death, you have no power." So around and around in a circle, Satan paced, clenching and unclenching his wiry fingers. And when he finally stopped, he asked a question that even I was thinking, "Why? Why would you do this?" The Father's voice was deep and it was soft. because I love them. Why would he do that? Because he loved them. Christmas, you see, brothers and sisters, is a birth story about a little baby boy born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph. Christmas is also a very wondrous story. Countless numbers of songs, poems, movies, and films have been made depicting that incredibly amazing and miraculous nature of the story. Angels, wise men, shepherds, kings, animals, they all play parts, didn't they? Wonderfully shown by our children. They all played unique, special, wonderful parts in this wondrous story. But Christmas is, it was, and it always will be, it remains primarily a love story. For you see, the love story between God and mankind began before even time began. It began in that beginning of time, if there ever was. There was never a beginning of time, but it began sometime in that mind and heart of a magnificent Creator God. His passionately He designed, in passionate love, He designed a mankind in His mind. He tenderly formed us with His gentle hands. And then He lovingly breathed a breath of love into His marvelous creation. And He invited us, male and female, young and old alike, to walk with Him. There first in that garden, but now forevermore, He invites all of us to walk with Him. That's a wonderful, wonderful invitation. Christmas is about a love that gave all for the sake of love. God not only created us so that He could love us, but He also came down to love us. God came near. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God among us. God with us. Only love could do that. Only love in all of its power could do something so extraordinary, yet so simple. You see? And that's the joy of it. One of my all-time favorite modern Christmas songs is a little known song sung and written by Amy Grant. Some of you remember Amy Grant, don't you? She's from a few years gone by. She's got one of these contemporary Christian hymns or hits that I've always liked. And it speaks about this very theme. The song is called Love Has Come. And I don't know if you remember, but the tune always comes to my mind during Christmas season. You don't get to hear it played much, but I've still got CDs that has it on it, so we get to hear it every Christmas season. I'm going to flash the words real quick at the beginning of the song, if you can read those. Not going to go through all of those, but she starts out by telling little children about the excitement of waking up in the morning. Christmas has come. The excitement's there. Presents are hiding underneath the Christmas tree. And it reminds her of how the child in her, even as a jolt, is the same each time at Christmas. When we set up Christmas and we ready for the fellowship and the joyous occasion of family and all of that. One more time, she says, I realize all the love our lives are found in You. Now the second verse goes like this. If I could have a special dream coming true on Christmas morn, I would want the world to see how His Father smiled when Christ was born. The greatest gift the world has known. So come on, kids, look high and low for all the toys you've dreamed to find, but I believe you'll never know a greater joy than Jesus' love inside. And then that beautiful chorus goes, love has come for the world to know, as the wise men knew such a long time ago. And I believe that the angels sang. Did you hear those angels singing back there this morning? Trying their best to lift those voices, okay? The angels sang that hope had begun. Here's the thing. When the God of glory, who is full of mercy, yes, the God of glory, sent his Son. He is love. Jesus came that blessed Christmas morning because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, just like we read from the scripture, John 3:16. You want to hear it in Arabic? It's beautiful in Arabic too, okay? In fact, we're going to put it in the, you can read it along with me. Alright? لأنه هكذا أحب الله العالم حتى بذل ابنه الوحيد لكي لا يحلق كل من يؤمن به بل تكون له حياة الأبدية. Beautiful, isn't it? In any language, it says the same thing. You know what it says? God so loved. The love that God displayed on that morning, and even before and even after that morning, was beyond our comprehension. It was beyond our understanding. But the little understanding had to begin as a small, seemingly insignificant story. A little baby born in a manger in a little town not too far from Jerusalem called Bethlehem. That's the story of Christmas. You see, love in any language begins and ends with Jesus. Christ was love. The Word of God says that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our love. Love without Jesus is only a fairy tale. We see far too many fairy tales at Christmas time. But love with Jesus is far more than a little story. Far more than a little fairy tale. Because that love that has a beginning is a love that is forever. The beginnings of love are exciting, but a love that's only about a fairy tale always has not only a beginning but an ending as well. Beginnings of relationships, beginnings of work, beginnings of all kinds of things. Love is poured out on humanity in many different ways. But the kind of love that we manufacture here in our experience is not always the kind of love that was displayed that Christmas morning. The love of Christ, however, is an everlasting love. And that's what I want you to hear this morning. It is one that began in the very heart of God. And it never ends. His love for you, my dear brothers and sisters, didn't begin that Christmas morning. It began before creation began. And it continues evermore. You are loved in the heart of God. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what you find yourself doing, God loves you. And He loved you so much that He began this precious journey in that little town in Bethlehem in a manger. A little baby born on Christmas morning some time ago took the form of humanity so that one day He could lay down His life for all mankind. How extraordinary is that? That love continues on forever in the heart of God, and it culminates and it intensifies forever in heaven. One time, a long time ago, that love came down. It started in an obscure, out-of-the-way town when an angel announced that a young virgin would be filled with this kind of love and carry him about until his birth. He made his way into this world in a little town outside the beaten path, in a lowly manger, surrounded by unlikely observers who, upon recognizing this magnificent but simple love gift from God, immediately became worshipers. He is love, and Christmas is pure and simple, a story of his love. You see, God came down, and it was his love that did that. He gave us a gift. Not the kind of gift that's wrapped up in a shiny present, that with joy and glee we open up on Christmas morning, although those are wonderful and those are fun. That gift that he presented to us was the gift of unconditional love. Oftentimes, many writers have called another kind of love a transactional love. It's conditional. We give things in order to get things. We offer gifts so that someone will give us something in return. And we are expecting these kinds of gifts as human beings. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that that wasn't the kind of gift that Jesus presented to you and me on that Christmas morning. He didn't present a transactional gift, one that he expected something in return from you and me. He gave an unconditional gift that very day. And that means he gave it out of love, without any expectations whatsoever from you nor from me. The only thing that God hopes will happen is that you'll receive it. That's it. You don't have to give anything in return. You don't have to do anything in return. God gives you this gift, and all you have to do is receive it. That's what Christmas is about. Have you ever received that marvelous, wonderful gift? If you haven't, do it now. Do it now, because God doesn't promise us another day. And even every day is a gift of a precious gift from God. And so, as we come and we sing this this hymn, another Christmas hymn, then I wonder if there's if God has tugged upon your heart, and if you have a decision of any kind to make, I'll be down front, and we'll sing. What's the song we're singing there? Silent Night. Okay, Silent Night. So would you stand to your feet, and you think about this marvelous gift that God made available to us. Blessings on you as you prepare, not for Christmas, Prepare this week for the love gift that God is offering to you each and every day. Will you join me as we pray? Oh, Father, we thank you. We glory in your presence. You are so precious. You are so loving. You are so kind. It is your goodness. It is your love which made possible our salvation in Christ Jesus. And so as we, in this Christmas season, surround ourselves with family, with friends, with opportunities, with joy, with gifts, may that simple message be upon our hearts and our minds. Christ was love. I ask your blessings upon each brother and sister as they joy in the season with family and friends. Keep them safe as they travel. Bless their fellowship and their love together. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless.